There's a lot of great things happening at Tennessee Athletics.
I believe this city is going to be upside down tonight.
Season-long party continues at Rocky Top.
Welcome back, y'all, to another episode of the Everything Orange podcast. Coming off of the Masters this past weekend, our guest this week will have you wishing it was more than just 1 week out of the year. He's a redshirt senior on the men's golf team who has won two individual titles and has helped build the Volunteers into a top 10 nationally ranked program. His accomplishments on Rocky Top include two individual titles, 10 career top 10 finishes, back-to-back second team All-SEC finishes, and being the all-time program leader of career rounds of par or better. So please welcome to the Everything Orange podcast, Bryce Lewis. Bryce Lewis, thank you so much for joining me on the Everything Orange podcast today.
Yeah, no problem. I'm glad to be here. I mean, I have nothing else to do. I don't have class in person anymore. So
right, you got plenty of time on your hands, so why not come on the podcast and talk all things golf?
Right.
So I want to start off with some fun personality golf questions. I have a really long list. I just couldn't cut any of them out. So I'm excited to hear all of your answers. So the first one I have for you is, have you ever had a hole in one?
I have, yeah. I think I'm on four now.
Oh my gosh.
I actually had one at Holston Hills probably, I don't know, 5 or 6 months ago. And you could hear my reaction from the clubhouse. And 11 tee box is probably the farthest point from the clubhouse that you could possibly be on the golf course. I had a buddy that was in the clubhouse, and he was like, did you just make a hole in one? And I was like, yeah, I did. So they're super unexpected, but like when they go, because you're never thinking about it, obviously, because the chances are like, I don't know what, but I've had four.
If you could pick one, which PGA Tour event would you want to compete in?
Ooh. Probably like the Genesis Invitational at Riviera in LA. Just that golf course is awesome. Usually a really good crowd, good field. And it's in LA. I'm not the biggest fan of California, but it is super pretty. And it's always fun to visit. But that one, yeah, because like Tiger hosts it and stuff. And like fun. He's always there. And it's usually like the best field of the year. But like other than that, like obviously the Masters or something
right.
like that.
I feel like the Masters is not a cop-out answer, but I like that you gave a different, off the beaten path
right.
one. But of course, you have to throw out the Masters because
duh.
Are you more likely to be found at the driving range or the putting green?
Right now I need to be found at the putting green only. probably the driving range though. I mean, it's so fun to hit balls and like, shot shape and like, especially when you got wind and stuff and like being able to just like kind of, you're like an artist out there trying to create your own shot. Right now I need to be on the putting green. I've been doing my stats, I've been losing some shots putting, but, I would say like naturally just driving range. But you don't want to get too caught up and just only sitting on the range and stuff. But
fair.
Yeah, definitely driving range.
Thoughts on Topgolf? Have you been? Do you like it?
I mean, it's fun, but I don't go much.
Okay.
I really don't. I mean, because the balls, they stink. They're awful. And so like when I hit, like when I put a good swing on it and I see the ball just like shrimp hook or like duck hook out of the way, and I'm like, No, that shouldn't happen.
No, no.
But it's fun. Like when I go with a bunch of friends that don't really play much, and like they just kind of want to go have a good time. Food's good. Like it's a good time. But I probably go once or twice a year.
What is your favorite club?
My driver for sure. Ping driver. It's just fun when you like absolutely nuke one and it just goes so far. Like just when you hit one right in the screws. That's the best feeling.
What's the hardest weather condition to play in?
Oh my gosh, we just got back from San Francisco. It was horrible. We played like the worst is when it's cold and it's not pouring rain, but it's not like misting. It's just steady rain. Because if it's like pouring rain, they'll probably stop play.
Okay.
Because the greens will flood up. But this past week in San Francisco in the second round, it was awful. It steady rained the whole time. It was windy.
Ugh.
It was cold. Like, it's miserable.
You got all the elements.
Yeah.
The cold, the wind, and the rain.
Yeah, I'm like Avatar or whatever you call it now. It is horrible. Mm. But that was a tough round. To be honest, though, we embraced the hard conditions because, like, so when you get a weather day like that, you get half the guys are going to quit. Because it's too hard.
Okay.
And then half of them aren't going to play good. So then you're down to like 25% of the field. And then you just got to beat like 30 guys. And then like half of those 30 guys are going to probably quit mid-round anyway. So, like, we kind of embrace the conditions a little bit. So it makes it a little more enjoyable. But deep down, we all know it sucks.
Mm-hmm. What's the best golf course you've ever played?
Augusta National.
Oh.
Yeah. Whoa, for sure.
That's big time.
For sure.
Okay.
I feel like that's, like, on its separate list because, like, everyone knows that would probably be the best golf course that you could play. I love Riviera Country Club where the Genesis Invitational is. I've played there before. I'm trying to think. God, we play a lot of good ones. Like, the amount of courses that we played here at Tennessee, just, like, when we're going in that area,
mm-hmm.
and there's a member at the course that's a Tennessee fan and that wants to have us out, like, there's so many alumni and Tennessee fans that are just, like, come play. Like, we played San Francisco Golf Club last week. That's a, like, super elite club. And then we got to play Cypress Point in the fall last year. It's, like, number two in the world.
Wow.
That one's up there for sure.
Yeah, perks of being a Tennessee golfer because the brand carries worldwide. So they're like, come on down. What golf course in the world would you want to play that you haven't played in?
Ooh, I got a teammate from New Zealand, or an ex-teammate from New Zealand, and he played or caddied at a place called Tara Iti in New Zealand.
Whoa.
And he would show me pictures, and it looks
incredible.
It looks pretty phenomenal. I've always wanted to go over there too.
Okay.
So it looks like a pretty good spot, and I think that golf course was ranked inside like the top five in the world or something. So that's like bucket list.
What would be your professional golf Mount Rushmore?
Like the players?
Yeah. So if you had to put four, it is four, right?
Yeah, four.
Four.
I think that's right. I'm not a history nerd, but
either.
Yeah.
Okay, four.
I'd go Phil Mickelson. He's a lefty. I'm left-handed.
Mm-hmm.
Big Phil guy. I mean, I'd have to go Tiger Woods. Are you talking like best?
Your
favorite.
Yes.
My favorite. Okay.
Your
All right.
People.
Definitely Phil.
Okay.
Definitely Tiger Woods. I would say Jordan Spieth. I'm starting to really like Scott Stallings. He's trying to teach me how to work out and play golf. He's a PGA Tour player that plays in Knoxville.
Oh, cool.
Or he's from Knoxville.
Oh, cool.
And he hangs out with us all the time.
That's awesome.
And helps us a lot. So just because of that, I'm going to put him in the four. He kind of deserves to be there, I think.
Good.
He's helped me out a lot.
Good. Okay.
But if he wasn't in there, I don't know. Probably like Colin Morikawa.
Like
Colin Morikawa.
Okay. What is one shot that gives you the most difficulty?
I've got some beef with my 3-iron right now.
Okay.
It's like anything that I've got like a bad lie, it's like sitting down on the fairway and I got to hit like a 3-iron. Like, we got to work on that. We got to work on that today.
Okay.
It's windy today, so I'm going to get some work
in.
It'll
be a good day.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, but I hope you and your 3-iron work it out.
Yeah, we might not.
Okay.
But,
all right. That's
hopefully,
fair.
Hopefully. Yeah.
Do you have a golf movie that brings back really good childhood memories?
Like Caddyshack for sure. Yeah, that's like the goat of golf movies. The amount of one-liners I say from that movie, like on a daily basis, probably like 2 to 3. I'll probably drop one throughout this podcast at some point.
High School Musical 2 is mine because Troy Bolton works on a golf course in that movie.
I haven't seen that movie in so long. I had no idea that he even worked on a golf course.
He has that huge like song and he's running through the hills of the golf course, Bet on Me.
It was at Riviera, I think.
No,
I'm kidding. I have no idea. I haven't seen that movie since I was like six, seven.
I saw it last week. I'm kidding. Okay, it would be on brand. Okay,
yeah.
Which of the majors would be the ultimate dream to win?
Definitely the Masters.
Get the green jacket.
The green jacket is tradition, the history.
Yeah.
It's like an invitational, so you got to get invited to play.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Absolutely, hands down.
Yeah.
Have you seen the Netflix show Full Swing?
I actually have not really.
Okay.
I'm terrible with TV shows.
Really?
Yeah. I don't, like, watch Breaking Bad, watch
that's
Ozark.
That's a commitment.
You know,
those are both commitments, though.
And I've watched those twice, which is really weird.
Okay.
I really like those. I don't know why. But, no, I'm not. I haven't watched the Full Swing. I watched the first couple episodes. Brooks Koepka one, I remember watching that one the first season. That one was, like, because he had just joined the Live Tour. And so that was a big, like, controversy because he's, like, best player in the world,
right.
You know, arguably. And it kind of sounded like he was regretting it, but like not really. It was weird, you know. He was really down on himself in that episode, but I think he's okay. He just won the PGA Championship last year. So.
Yeah, I think he's been fine.
He'll be all right. Yeah, yeah, he'll be all right.
Okay, well, that was good. I enjoyed all of those answers. Okay. Now we'll get to talking about you and your story.
Oh, gosh.
You're from Hendersonville, Tennessee, in-state kid. Can you talk to me about how you got into golf and where the love for golf came from?
Yeah, so my dad was a pretty good player. Won our state open, I think 2001. He says I'm the downfall of his golf game. So he was a good player. He got me into it. I didn't really start playing until I was like 12.
Okay.
But I was a like average baseball player, maybe slightly above average at best. And then I looked over at the like next year's field, you know, like the 13 to 15 field, and I was like, I don't think I want to play baseball anymore. Fair. Like they're humming it. And I was like 80 pounds. So I decided to play golf, and my dad obviously was a good player, and he just kind of taught me, and here I am. So it's been a crazy ride.
Growing up, did you have dad as coach?
Yeah.
Or did you have him kind of just separate and let you do your thing?
He was coach.
Okay.
And as a stubborn 15, 16, 17, even – I'm 23 now, so he's still stubborn. it's like, dang, this dude's right. It's like, but you don't want him to be right because he's dad. So I would go see other coaches and stuff, but, you know, he would always come to the lesson, and then, like, he'd be in the back in the corner, and, like, the coach I'm going to see would say something, and he'd be like, never heard that one before, have you? Like, he had told me all these things, so he just paid money for another guy to tell me.
Right,
like,
and you're going to listen to him more so than dad, because dad doesn't know anything. Yeah. When did you start taking it seriously and consider, hey, I could go play at a college and do this?
Like, freshman year of high school wasn't great. I was shooting, like, mid-80s. Sophomore year, started shooting, like, high 70s. And then, like, junior year of high school, well, okay, no, I'd say, like, sophomore year, I started shooting, like, mid-70s. And then junior, senior year of high school, I started, like, posting a lot of good scores, like, winning tournaments. Got recruited by Coach Webb at Middle Tennessee, actually. And, I mean, it was, like, I was, like, a kid in a candy shop. I was, like, oh, my gosh, college, yeah, I'm committed. Mm-hmm. But I just loved Coach Webb, and I committed to Middle when I was, like, 16, maybe 15 or 16.
Okay.
And he ended up getting the job here the summer we were going into school at Middle.
Wait, I didn't know that you committed. I didn't know that you were with Coach Webb for the long haul. Like, you were with him going to Middle Tennessee. Mm-hmm. And then when he got the job here, you came to Tennessee.
Yeah, but I never took a class at Middle. So, like, this summer going in.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah. I was just moved in and ready to go.
Yes.
And
what were your thoughts on that? Were you excited about that new possibility? Was the decision easy for you?
Oh, yeah. It was like, yeah.
Duh.
There was some speculation that he was going to get offered the job. But as soon as he called me and asked me, I said, yeah. I was like, that's a no-brainer.
Right. I don't need time to figure that out.
I've been a Tennessee fan my whole life. Like, competition will be a little bit better. Like, SEC.
Yeah.
And, like, definitely made me want to, you know, play up to the competition. So
okay, so let's talk now about that freshman redshirt year. What did you learn in that first year of college on campus?
Not much. I mean, if I could go back, I would have totally redone my redshirt year. So, like, I knew I was redshirting, which might have been the worst thing for me, because, like, I just went out and, like, I didn't do much anything productive, to be honest with you.
Okay.
Like, if we had a day off on our teamwork schedule, like, I was not going to play or practice. Like, now it's like I'm out there every day. Even if we have a day off, that's like, okay, that's the day off to do things that I need to work on.
Sure.
Not like a team practice.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's just being 18 and dumb, and, like, being 23 and older now, I think if I could go back, I would have been like, dude, go do the right things and, like, set yourself up for, like, your future.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like I'm starting to do that now. So you learn from your mistakes a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. Would you say that going into then your sophomore season, you kind of were like, okay, let's get this together, Bryce.
Yeah.
Like, go time.
It wasn't me that was saying that. I had a lot of yelling from Coach Webb and Coach Bo. But, like, that's what makes them great coaches.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started to see success, like, as soon as that year – that COVID year that we came back, that spring, I think it was 2021, I won my first ever college tournament.
Yeah.
We had a really good field.
Yep.
So, like, that's because I started to do the right things, and, like, Coach Webb and Coach Bo were just, like,
it's
yelling
crazy
at me. Yeah,
what happens
to do
when
it.
You apply yourself.
Yeah,
right.
That was cool, and that kind of sparked myself for for some more success.
So. Yeah, so you mentioned in that first season, your redshirt freshman year, you captured your first collegiate individual win at the Country Club of Birmingham Invitational. You notched four straight top 25 finishes and three top 10 finishes and made the cut as an individual at the NCAA Championships. So how would you describe that first full season?
Yeah, it was good. I mean, it didn't feel like my freshman season because it was technically my third season.
Right.
Because I did a redshirt, and then the COVID season cut that second year. We didn't play at all.
Okay.
And then, that third year is when my freshman season, so I was, super old freshman, but I definitely learned a lot. I hadn't competed in a long time. It kind of took me a minute to get going.
Mm-hmm.
But once I won that tournament, I knew that I didn't have to do anything special to succeed, and, you're not going to win every week, but if you can just put yourself inside that top 25, those top 10, tens, those build week in, week out. And it was, I had a lot of older guys on the team around me that they were good leaders for me. So I had that was a good time. Man, we had a good time. Making it to the national championship too, we didn't have a ton of expectations on ourselves. We weren't nearly as good as we are now from a talent standpoint. And I'm not downing any of those guys. They were really good too.
Mm-hmm.
But, it was just a fun year because we didn't have too many expectations ourselves, and we got to the national championship, finished 15th, not what we wanted, but it was such a great experience, to be honest.
Yeah, absolutely. Then going into your redshirt sophomore year, you were named the second team all SEC, finishing the season with a stroke average of 70.97, which marked the third best in program history. And you also recorded three top 10 finishes. In what ways during that season, after having that first full one under your belt, were you trying to okay, I'm going to improve my game here, I want to grow here?
I think there was a weakness. If there was a weakness, when I got on a long golf course, where you had to hit it farther, I've always been kind of thin. And so I tried to start getting in the gym a lot more and started to put some distance on with my driver.
Okay.
That was something I remember focusing on. Feels like forever ago. But yeah, that certainly helped a little bit. And then doing stats and stuff and seeing if you think about it, one shot around is three shots in a tournament, and three shots in a tournament is 20 spots on a leaderboard sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's how can you, when you just made a bogey and then you're just you want to throw your club in the lake and then you want to slam the tee box and break the, how can you refocus and save that shot from that happening?
Okay.
That stuff adds up over the year, and it's really, really hard. You have to be super disciplined to be able to when you're playing bad, because you're going to play bad. It's golf. It kind of sucks sometimes. But when you are playing bad, you got to just realize that hey, I've got this many tournaments left in the year. If I decide to bomb and just give up right now, it's going to ruin my whole year kind of.
When you get in those mental spaces, what self-talk are you having to yourself to help you get out of it?
It's kind of just not worrying about what's to come. In golf, you can sit there and be oh my gosh, 18 is so hard. I got to play 13 to 17 well so I can have room to bogey 18. Or you just have to take it one shot at a time. And golf is so mental because it's not basketball, football, where you're running, you're just going. It's constant free throws is what golf is in basketball.
It's a great way to put
it. It's because you're only hitting the ball for 2 seconds and you're walking and thinking about what could be going wrong and all this crap. And you're, 99% of the sport is mental.
Mm-hmm.
There's physical things. Obviously you got to be good enough to hit it and consistently be good. And everybody on our team is good enough to do that.
Right.
But if you want to separate yourself, it's up here. And that's the hardest part.
Okay, now let's go into your redshirt junior year. You won your second individual title at the Purdue Fall Invitational, named second team All-SEC for the second straight season. Overall, the Vols season featured six top two team finishes, there it is, mm-hmm. which stood as the second most in a single season in program history. That was a great and important year for you as an individual in the sport. But as a team, what did last season mean to you?
We had a great team, and we had a lot of ups and downs, but it was super disappointing when we missed out on nationals last year at regionals. I mean, the thing about golf is you can dominate all regular season long, but you still got to get through regionals. There's like 14 teams. You got to finish inside the top five. All the 14 teams are pretty good. I mean, it's just like competition, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So we finished sixth, I think, and that was like, that hurt a lot. And so this year it's kind of just been like, how can we be as mentally strong as possible? Because there were some moments, like I'm talking about the like giving up shots and stuff. There were some moments in that regional where we were like, oh my gosh, it's not our year. You know, it's like, we're not doing it. We're failing. Like, you know, who cares? Like, you got to just go put your head down and like try your hardest and mm-hmm. not try to get in the way of yourself. But we had a great regular season last year, and just like that one tournament, which was the most important one, didn't go the way we wanted to. And, you know, with Caleb Surratt having like, I think it was a record year he had as a freshman. It was tough to see him not be able to compete in the national championship, but he's doing all right now.
I think so, he's doing fine. Yeah. In a sport that is so individual, how do you guys keep the team effort at the forefront of what you do?
You are playing for yourself, but like, so when you get in those down moments, it's like you're playing for your teammates too.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you're like, if you want to, like every decision that you make and like every emotional decision you make is like not only hurting you, but it's for me, it's I care more about my coaches. I love my coaches so much. Like, I love my teammates, but like, I respect my coaches so much. Like, this is their job, is for us to go out and like, you know, obviously play well.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I just try my hardest for my coaches. Even if I'm 5 over through 5, like if I can just get it to 4 over, if I can just shoot 4 over, or if I can just, you know, just try and save some shots, like mm-hmm. for my coaches and my teammates, like that's what you have to do. And then like, when you look back and like, this is my last year, I'm never going to have that team aspect again, unless mm-hmm. I go join the Live Tour, which would be pretty cool. But you're not going to have that team aspect. And so like, you just got to enjoy it. It's different, but that's what's cool about college golf.
So now we're here. We're here to this season. Redshirt senior year, your last year as a Tennessee volunteer. But I have to say real quick, before this season really got started here on Rocky Top, at the most recent U.S. amateur tournament, you ran into like some random fan who wanted a photo with you. I don't know. He's like kind of a sports legend.
Yeah, no, I don't know who that is. Yeah. He was weird looking. I don't know. I've never seen him. He looked familiar. I don't know.
But he just like asked you for a photo.
Yeah. Yeah. He just was like, hey man, you want to take a picture? And I was like, yeah, I'll take a picture
with a
you.
Fan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, did you say his name? What was his name again?
Peyton. I think it was Peyton Manning.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I think he went to, I think he was I think he graduated here.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'll have to look him up.
Yeah,
sometime.
Communications. I think he was communications.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe I've seen him, a professor at the communications.
Yeah.
School. That's
him. That's him. All knew he looked familiar.
Cool.
Yeah.
In addition to that, though, you're the all-time program leader of career rounds of par or better. And right now the team is ranked 7th nationally. I know the numbers aren't really what we're looking at, but how would you describe what you're looking forward to in these last couple of weeks?
Yeah, it was, yeah, 7th in the country is great. You know, like you said, we're not, you know, necessarily looking at that. I mean, we obviously want to be the best team we can.
Mm-hmm.
It was different. It was a little, not a shock, because he's really good. Losing Caleb, he definitely, you know, everybody outside's like, oh, they're gonna suck. You know, they lost Caleb. He was the first team All American. Like, he's the best player in the country, probably. They're gonna suck. It's like, well, not really. Like, we have so many good players sitting behind him,
mm-hmm.
and we did stats on, you know, with him on the team and him without on the team. They're the exact same, which is actually crazy.
That's, yeah, amazing.
But it's like, go prove somebody wrong, you know? It's like, that's actually really cool to go prove a lot of people wrong.
Your strength and conditioning coach, Coach Greg, he was on the swimming and diving NCAA women's trip that I also went on, and we were talking at one of the dinner breaks, and he was talking about the golf team, and he's like, it's incredible, this team, how they were dismissed at the beginning of the season with the loss of Caleb, thinking, like you said, like, this team isn't going to be able to live up to anything that they were able to do last year because they lost this star mm-hmm. on the team. But he's like, don't get it twisted, like, this team is a top 10 nationally ranked program. They are holding their own, and they were always capable of it, and now they're proving everybody wrong, like you said, which I think is really cool thing and a really cool story to come out of this season for you guys.
Yeah, it is. I mean, we've kept our, I think we kept our ranking of seventh, you know, since Caleb left, and had two chances to win a really good tournament, like Puerto Rico and then in San Francisco last week were two great fields. Just have the chance to win and then learn from what we did well, what we didn't do well. That's the most important lesson mm-hmm. for success. And even the good thing about it is if it doesn't go the way you want it to, then, like, well, you know, nobody had expected us to do anything anyway. So right, might as well just go prove them wrong.
Exactly, so. Exactly. Have that chip on your shoulder. Yep. Overall, you're a two-time individual champion, 26 career top 25 finishes, 10 career top 10 finishes, 5 career podium finishes. If you could encapsulate or put to words one of your most special moments on Rocky Top, it could be within those wins, it could be outside of those wins, but those moments, what would it be?
Honestly, the first tournament that I think I got in the lineup for was in San Diego. On 17, this is drivable par 4, and we were tied for the lead at this point. And my coach looked at me, and I was like, "You think he's driver?" And he's like, "Driver right at it." I hit a driver right at the pin to like 2 feet for on a drivable par 4, and like gave him the biggest fist pump. It was so awesome. It was so sick.
That was such a good feeling.
And then I made it for eagle, and then par 18, and we ended up winning. Beating Arizona State, they were like the best team in the country.
Wow, yeah.
And then we like, it was so fun. That was like, and it was my freshman year,
yes.
So it was like my first tournament in the lineup, and like, I was like, this is great. Like, we won the first tournament that I was in the lineup for.
That was a good first taste, like, experience for you to be like chasing that high mm-hmm. from then on out throughout the rest of your
yeah.
career, being like, I know how good it feels, and I want to get right mm-hmm. back there every single tournament. We talked about Caleb for a second, and I just want to talk about him a little bit more. He was your former teammate last season that turned pro this year, joining Legion 13 and made his LIV debut this year. As a teammate with him last season, what were you able to learn from him while y'all were both on Rocky Top?
Yeah, like he said, he's an amazing player. He's a great kid too. He like off the golf course, like nicest, genuine, like super committed to his faith. Like it's really cool to see him mm-hmm. like. He's just such a great kid, so like to see him have that opportunity to go, like I was so happy for him because he deserved it. And but like when you surround yourself with guys like Caleb and like Scott Stallings, the guy that we played with a lot, when you hit a really good golf shot, like you can't hit it, you know, you can only hit up a golf ball so good is what I say all the time. And so like when I hit a great 6-iron and when Caleb hits a great 6-iron, like they're about the same, like. But how can you do that a little more often? And how can you not let the bad shots affect you? Like, Caleb Surratt could go shoot 82 tomorrow, and he's still going to be great. Like, he still believes he's great. Like, I believe that too, but, like, he believes it more than I do. I think that's the only thing that separates somebody like him from a college golfer.
Yeah.
And so when you just surround yourself like people like that all the time, like, his mentality is super good, mm-hmm. And he wants it.
And it's something, too, where, like, if you see it, you can be it. And you're mm-hmm. seeing it happen with Caleb coming from the same foundation that you both share, which is being here at Tennessee. So through that, what's it been like for you knowing that these goals are reachable for you, seeing somebody doing it right now in real time?
It's really cool to, like, it's out. It's possible.
Yeah.
Peter Malnati, who just won at the Valspar Championship last week, also lives in Knoxville, practices okay. at our facility.
Wow.
I can tell you that physically, and he will tell you this too, he is not any more impressive than anyone on our college golf team. Maybe less impressive physically. But his mentality and his want and his belief and his positivity is the best that I've ever seen.
Wow.
And that's why he won. That's why he wins. And that's why he's been on the PGA Tour for 10 years and made $20 million. Like, that's cool.
Yes.
It's just, you know, sometimes you doubt yourself. Golf is so weird. When you're playing super well, it's like, how could you ever play bad? When you're playing bad, it's like, how can I ever play good? But like those guys do, when they play bad, they know they're going to play good. Like on the PGA Tour, a guy might play bad. How many weeks are in the year? 54?
52.
Dang, I'm dumb. I need to go to school.
Close,
year.
You're close.
52. I mean, if they play for 30 weeks out of the year, like they're going to probably play bad like 22 weeks out of the year. But, like, the 8 or the 4 or whatever, like, weeks they play well, like, mm-hmm. they know they're going to capitalize on those weeks. And, like, so you see with Peter Malnati, Scott Stallings does it all the time. Like, you just got to realize that bad is going to happen, unfortunately. And, like, the better you can handle that, the better
yeah.
you're going to be, the better your good's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot of mental work, but like it's there. Like, yeah. You can do it, but right. It's really hard, but man, I can do it. So it's cool to know that.
Yeah.
You know.
Coach Webb, he's been on this journey with you from the very beginning. How has he helped shape you into the man that you are today?
He's great. I mean, he just is so good at his job, like his dedication to everyone. He's not afraid to yell at you. He's not afraid to boost you up. He wants it too. Like he wants to win. He's super competitive. And so like as a coach, like he wants to win as much as he can. So, and that's really cool to be around. Like you want a coach that just wants to beat people. Like he just wants to beat like every
everyone.
Team, like especially SEC teams. Like he just wants to beat them all. And so I was like, cool. He's really motivated. He motivates us a lot to play well. And like, he might be the most motivating person on the team. Like he wants it more than anybody, which is like, let's go.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really cool. Coach Bo has been there the whole time too. Like I would say they're two like different, totally different people, which is really good. Mm-hmm. Like I go to Bo for anything. Like sometimes I'm afraid to go to Webb, but like, no, we're like best friends now.
You've been a volunteer for now 6 years. Mm-hmm. What has this program meant to you?
It means a lot. Like sometimes over these last couple of years, like being here a long time, I've forgotten what it means to wear the power tee. But there's just so many. It's so cool when you go to like around Knoxville and like, you know, if people know that you're on the golf, like people around here just love the university so much that mm-hmm. it's like, it's just really cool to be an athlete here. And everywhere you go, you know, for life, you get to say that you were a college athlete at the university of Tennessee. Like, that's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
So everywhere you go, it's cool. And we go and travel throughout the country. Like,
yes.
Everyone knows what the power tee is. And, like, people yes. shout, go Vols, like, all the time in the airport. And we just, like, scream back and go Vols. Like, it just travels. It's really mm-hmm. cool. So I got that with me for life. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's pretty yeah. cool. Okay, last thing before we wrap this up. It's one of the most exciting times of the year for you and a lot of people in the country. By the time this podcast airs, the Masters will have already happened. But how exciting is this for you?
It is fun. It's cool. Okay, it's actually really cool to watch it and have played the golf course. I played it twice,
okay.
which is unreal.
Yes.
When I got out there the first time I played it, I was like, this is where 10 is? Like, this is where 2, like, I was like, what? I'd never been on property before.
Okay.
I never even watched.
Okay.
And so I'd always just watched it on TV. And so, like, getting to play it, it's, like, unbelievable. It's just, like, when I was on 5 tee box, I was like, these bunkers are massive. Like, they're huge. I mean, I can't describe, like, they're, like, from the ground to, like, whatever that is right there. Like, they're, like, 15 feet deep. So, like, you can't get out of it. So, I don't know. It's, like, little stuff like that. And the
yeah.
golf course is super hilly.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the most exciting week of the year. Like, now that I've played it and to get to watch it again.
Yes. Is it as, like, green and lush as it looks on TV?
Yeah. It really is. Like, I would walk. So, I was on, like, the 8th tee box, and I walk. There's, like, these bathrooms, like, way off kind of toward the back. And, like, I'm just checking. I'm like, there's got to be a spot back here. Like, nobody walks back here.
Mm-hmm.
There's got to be a spot
Felt.
Off.
Yeah.
Nothing. I'm checking edges and everything. Like, every edge is perfectly cut. Like, that's just on, like, a day that we play. That's not even for the – they go to the extreme for the Masters.
Right.
Like, but, like, every day out there for the members, 24/7. It's still perfection.
Gosh.
And it's unreal. It really is. It's crazy.
When you watch it now, is it cool? Like, you kind of touched on this, but being able to be like, oh, I understand what they're going through right now, or I get what they're thinking right now because you've seen it and you've done it.
Are you talking about, like, the players when I'm watching?
Yes.
Yeah. That's my favorite
being
part
able to
of
relate
golf
to them.
Is, like, oh, my gosh. The thoughts that could be going through your head – as a spectator, like, well, we know what's going on, and they know what's going on. Like,
mm-hmm.
if you got a one-shot lead on the 18th tee box at Augusta, I can tell you that tee box is super narrow.
Okay.
So, like, you got to hit a good tee shot to hit it. I mean, you seriously got to hit it, like, it's narrower than this room, for sure. Like, you got to hit an absolute dart to get it in the fairway.
Okay.
And so, like, the thoughts, it's, like, it's just so cool to, like, watch those guys just, like, defeat the demons.
Yeah.
Because, like, there are some demons up there, I promise.
Right.
It's just, it's cool to watch, yeah.
Do you have any predictions on how you think the week is going to shake out?
Ooh, I don't know. I think Scottie Scheffler or Jon Rahm
okay.
are going to win.
Okay.
I mean, Scottie Scheffler is so good.
Yeah.
I think he's due to win another one. It wouldn't surprise me, but, like, you know, golf is just so – it's so mm-hmm. hard to predict golf because – when the putts are falling and you like believe it and like your mentality's there and you just feel it, like it's hard to stop one of those guys if they just get on a heater.
Right.
And so you never know who's going to catch fire.
Yeah.
But it's cool to watch. I love watching golf just because I play it, but it can be boring at sometimes. I wish they would just speed it up a little bit.
Yeah. But at least like when you're watching it on TV, it is like they cut all the holes and you can watch all the highlights.
Yeah.
You know, you're not watching just one person on
right,
one hole
right.
the whole time. But by the time this airs, I'll be excited to see if your prediction shakes. Because I don't, you know, I don't follow it year round as closely as probably you do. So you
a big
see.
Legion 13 fan, Kay. John Rahm, definitely pulling for John Rahm.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Sounds good. Well, this was so much fun. I learned so much about the sport just hearing you talk about it, which was awesome. But our last question for you, we ask everybody on the podcast this question. When you sing Rocky Top, do you woo?
Oh, absolutely. Woo! Like loud. Like, yeah. Especially if I'm in kneeling. Like, well, that was kind of weak right there. I mean, but if it's like I hear the all 100,000 people singing it, like I'm definitely
right there
fist pump, like arms going up in the air. Yeah.
Everything.
I'm giving it my all.
As you should.
I should.
Well, Bryce, this was awesome. Good luck for the rest of the season. We hope that you guys have an amazing postseason run, and thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much for listening to another episode of your favorite sports podcast, Everything Orange. As always, be sure to follow us on all of our Vol Sports platforms so you don't miss out on a single update. But before we go, here's a look at everything going on with Tennessee Athletics this upcoming week. Tomorrow, track is competing in the Wake Forest Invitational. Rowing has its Big Ten invite in Sarasota, Florida. Track also has a two-day Virginia Challenge in Charlottesville. Softball hosts Game 1 against LSU at 6 p.m. in Sherry Parker Lee. And baseball plays Game 1 against Kentucky in Lexington at 6:30 p.m. Saturday, soccer plays Murray State on the road at 11 a.m. Softball plays Game 2 at noon at Sherry Parker Lee, and baseball plays Game 2 against Kentucky at 2 p.m. On Sunday, softball plays Game 3 against the Tigers at 2 p.m., and baseball plays its last game against the Wildcats at 1 p.m. On Tuesday, both softball and baseball have home midweek games. The Lady Vols play Belmont at 6 p.m., and the Vols play Western Carolina at 6 p.m. Lastly, on Wednesday, Bryce and the men's golf team kick off the 2024 SEC Championship in St. Simons Island. Well, that's a wrap on Rocky Top. Make sure to tune in next Thursday for another episode of Everything Orange. Bye, y'all.